truth which has been upon my mind to bring before you this morning, you will find in the 33rd chapter of Exodus and the 14th verse. The 14th verse of the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." The Lord laid upon Moses a great responsibility. He was the one appointed by God to lead the ancient people from the bondage of Egypt to the very border of the Promised Land. My friends, the difficulties of Moses were many and various. The stiff-necked attitude of the people being by no means the least of the difficulties which he had to encounter. And that this had been so recently brought before him, in that while he was in the mount receiving the tables from God, these people joined together and with Aaron's help they made a golden calf. And as Moses descended from the mount, he found these people engaged in revelry, ascribing their deliverance from Egyptian bondage to this calf which they had made. Do you remember how Moses' spirit was provoked? We read that anger rose up in the heart of this meek man, and he took the calf from them, ground it to powder, and made them, sprinkled it upon the water, and made the people drink of that water. Well, now, in view of the past, Moses may be somewhat staggered by the present, that this people should so soon forget the exercise of the living and almighty God for their deliverance, and should so soon fall a prey to that most God-provoking practice of idolatry. And Moses was obviously under great pressure when we consider the future, the prospect that was opening up before him and the people in the wilderness, a pilgrimage with all its privations and all its difficulties, and also this obvious superficiality of thought and appreciation that was found in the hearts of these Israelites over whom he was appointed as leader. And my friends, Moses being a man of like passions with us, we can appreciate just a little of the sinking condition of spirit he must have felt when these things were presented before him, and how he found consolation from one prospect only. And that prospect was that the Lord would be with him, or with them. And my friends, in reference to that desire for the Lord's presence, we have the prayer associated with the text this morning. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses could see ruin on every side apart from the presence of the Lord. And my friends, in that presence, Moses found his comfort and his consolation as he considered the future with its great responsibilities and the exposures associated with a wilderness pilgrimage that was yet to be accomplished in their experience and under his guidance. Now, with those more general remarks as it concerns the setting of the text, I want to come particularly to the word of the text. Moses was anxious for the divine presence. He realized that without this, the case and cause was lost. Those things opposed to him were so powerful that but for the presence of God, it was impossible to see the way through, to anticipate the final victory. And my friends, here was God provoked by the people's sin. And in consequence of this, Moses feared that the divine presence would be taken from him, and in consequence of which all would be lost. Therefore, this promise meant so much to Moses in the prevailing circumstance. And my friends, God brings his people into circumstances wherein they realize the suitability and sweetness of his promise. Now, what a wonderful thing it is to be so conscious of our insufficiency and our danger to realize a need of the divine presence. My friends, could I face the future with quietness and composure if we had no anticipation of the presence of the Lord being with us? It is a great mercy to realize our need of the divine presence and to pray for it with all our heart. And those circumstances that reveal this essential to us are not indeed adverse, spiritually considered, but most profitable. For the nearer you and I come to personal insufficiency, the nearer we are to an actual understanding of our case and our need. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. My friends, and Moses was praying to the Lord when the Lord communicated or spoke this word to his heart. And I would commend the exercise of prayer to you as one sealed of God with his approbation, in that while his servant Moses was engaged in this exercise, the Lord condescended to speak a word in season, a word suitable to quell his fears and to assure him as to the future. What a terrible thought it is that many stumble on into an unknown future without any appreciation of their need of the divine presence. My friends, to go on without prayer is a most foolish thing to do, because there is no possibility of success, ultimate success or prosperity, if the Lord withholds his presence from us. Real prosperity, lasting prosperity, depends entirely upon the blessing of God. Now Moses said, the Lord said then to Moses, while Moses was in the exercise of prayer, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You may say, well, Moses had been a very successful man. He had known prosperity in a most remarkable way. He had been raised up of God and prepared and sent forth into the presence of Pharaoh, and God had used means to confirm Moses as the leader of his national people. He had confirmed Moses' word, and he had used miracle to bring forth his people from that bondage, and Moses had been accepted by the people. They had followed him through the Red Sea and out into the wilderness, and here they were situate in at the foot of Mount Horeb. But my friends, Moses' prosperity in no wise blinded Moses' eyes to his need of the divine presence and the need of praying his way through. You know, prosperity can so intoxicate the spirit of man as to deceive man in self-sufficiency. Oh, I'm prospering, and therefore I am adequate to meet my needs. My friends, that is unsanctified prosperity which deceives the spirit of man. Sanctified prosperity will make man appreciate that his prosperity is indeed the blessing of God resting upon him, and he will feel to need the continued blessing that his prosperity also may continue. And it is our mercy if we feel that it is of the Lord's mercy that we have prospered hitherto, and that the divine presence, the blessing of God, is essential to a continuance of such prosperity. Now Moses, despite the prosperity that God had given to him, was humbled before God in realization of the favors God had given hitherto, and he felt his need of its continuance. And my friends, when God said, "My presence shall go with thee," Moses had a realization that the God that had been with him in the past would also continue with him in the future. And this was to his comfort as he anticipated the future way. "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Now the rest, obviously, of the text refers finally to the entry of the people into the land flowing with milk and honey that God had set before them by his word ere they left the land of Egypt, and according to his promise unto the fathers, Abram, Isaac, and Israel. But between the entering into the rest and their present position was a journey. My friends, it was concerning that intervening period that was fraught with difficulty and with danger that the Lord gave his promise unto Moses of his presence. Well now, what does the presence of the Lord mean to us? What has it been made to me? Two conditions are set before us. My friends, if we have a spiritual appreciation of the blessing of the divine presence, we shall indeed fear the absence of the Lord. When David had sinned in the matter of Bathsheba and was brought into the exercise of penitence as before God, one of the things which he prayed most earnestly for was the preservation of God's presence. He feared that God would deal with him according to his sins and would cast him out of his sight. He says in the 11th verse of the 51st Psalm, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now the thought of God casting him away from his presence and taking his Holy Spirit from him was to David dreadful. Dreadful. And my friends, let us look into our own heart. What does the divine presence mean to us? And the prospect of God's presence being taken from us, does it fill our hearts with fear and dread? Well now the Lord says to Moses, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." An assurance of his presence. And then, my friends, the presence of the Lord is essential to spiritual prosperity. In the absence of the Lord, there is death. In the presence of the Lord is life. And Moses realized that there were difficulties and dangers in front of them as a people, that if the Lord withdrew his presence from them, the enemies may well gain advantage, and their experience would be absolutely fearful and dreadful. But if the Lord's presence was with them, their spiritual need and safety was assured. In the 16th Psalm, David touches upon a string which is very beautiful. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Just notice that. In thy presence is fullness of joy. If we look into the meaning of that expression, fullness of joy, we shall see satiation, absolute, perfect satisfaction, the supply of every need. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And now, my friends, what a mercy if the Lord promises us his presence. My presence shall go with thee. The presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, is life. Spiritual life. Spiritual preservation. Spiritual sustenance. Spiritual protection. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. The presence of the Lord is with us. There is satisfaction, spiritually considered, whatsoever may arise in our experiences, whether they be prosperity or adversity. Therefore, my friends, we would covet earnestly the blessing of the promise, my presence shall go with thee. But then, in circumstantial matters, this has been an exercise with me for several reasons in the last few days. Personally, we need again and again the assurance of the divine presence. My friends, we can't go on without the Lord, can we? Perhaps in my position, I realize this more than most, that I just can't go on without the divine presence. There is such a need in the ministry for which the resources of man are totally insufficient. There can be a dead exposition of the letter of the word, but my friends, upon that faith cannot feed. Living souls cannot find satisfaction in just a mere reiteration of the doctrine of the word. Living souls need living provision, and that living provision must come from a living God. And I often think of that word in the New Testament regarding the distribution of the bread given by Christ to his disciples. And he gave to the disciples to give to the multitude. And my friends, that is the recurring need of the ministry. to receive from a living Christ, a living Word, to distribute to a living people. Well then, the text has its significance in one's own experience. But also, my friends, collectively as a people, we need the continuing presence of the Lord. We need the Lord to deliver us from our difficulties. We need the Lord to sanctify the course of life, the changes which must occur in any community. Things do not remain static, even in a congregation for many weeks or months together. We find that there are changes, many. But my friends, if the Lord is with us, if this divine presence is indeed continued among us, though the changes may occur and will occur of necessity and consistent with the pattern of life, and nothing will be wanting in thy presence's fullness of joy, and at thy right hand the pleasures forevermore, the Lord can continue to bless us and to keep us together and to provide for us in every way needful. I see the whole secret of our continuance dependent upon the fulfillment of the text. And should this text be fulfilled, it will be well. My presence shall go with thee. And then I have also thought of the young people and the changes that are associated with them, to which I have referred in prayer this morning. My friends, it seems the pattern of modern living that at a certain age our young people shall leave the fold, at least for a time, and go into more distant places to further their education and to prepare for life. We appreciate ambition, and we do from our heart wish them well and would seek their prosperity in the unfolding of these ways. But our exercise as their spiritual guide and under shepherd is that they may be watched over and cared for by the Lord as they go forth into the difficulties and the dangers to which they must of necessity be exposed in their new environment. And my friends, this also, this consideration and exercise that has been upon me, especially of recent days, in view of the unfolding of the immediate future, has brought my mind to the text. And I do pray that this word may be applied to the hearts of our young friends, and that they may be caused to realize the blessing of the divine presence and their security and safety as that presence shall be maintained unto them in their future way. So the text has, in these respects, had a very powerful and useful exercise and application in one's mind and spirit. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. But I realize that these things to which I have referred by no means exhaust the exercises associated with the Lord's people. And I don't doubt that I have here represented in this congregation not a few exercises with regard to the future, the problems attendant upon life. And if I could see into your hearts as God sees them, you find the very spirit of the text to be so desirable and so suitable to your present needs. Now, my presence shall go with thee. We need the Lord to go with us in preparation for the future. Sometimes we have to make far-reaching decisions. Decisions which may affect us for the remainder of our days. And my friends, we seem to be at a crossroads of experience, and that we want to know the right word. We want that infallible guidance of him that knows the end from the beginning. I can't do more than commend to you the exercise of godly Moses. If you are placed at such a juncture of experience as this, my friends, there's no safer place in making a decision as to your future than on your knees before God. And I am persuaded of this, and I believe I can say from personal experience I have proved it, that if by the enablings of God's grace you can simply and humbly put your hand as a child into the hand of a heavenly Father and pray the prayer of our second hymn this morning, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah," the Lord will not suffer you to take a wrong step. The Lord will not suffer you to blunder. My friends, I firmly believe in the faithfulness and condescension of God, the care of him who ruleth over all. The old Scotch Covenanters used to say, and I've reiterated this in your hearing before, if you talk to God as a father, he will talk to you as a child. And my friends, if you act to God as a child, he will act toward you as a father. I say in simplicity, and yet in faith, look to the Lord and wait for him, and he will not leave you destitute of his love and his care in your time of decision. My presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee. Then sometimes we have situations in which to enter wherein we may feel our insufficiency and the prospect rises before us as a great mountain. But my friends, the Lord is always sufficient, and the hearts of all men are in his hand. You know, Moses, he had a multitude of stiff-necked people, and the one who he may well have looked to as a faithful companion, Aaron, he was involved in the transgression. He was among the people in the forming, the making of a golden calf. You know, Moses was very much alone, wasn't he? Very much alone. And my friend, sometimes you and I have got to go alone. And we've got to have dealings with others who may seem to be a contrary disposition. Moses was out of harmony with the spirit of the people over whom God had made him leader. And yet, by God's appointing, he'd got to live with them. By God's appointing, he'd got to continue among them. And my friends, how could this be so? Well, the solution of the problem is in the promise. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My friends, the contrary attitudes of men are subject to the will and purpose of God. The Lord binds the floods from overflowing. You and I sometimes are guilty of unbelieving compromise, as if we've got to go halfway to meet the world in that we may live with them, that we may walk with them. My friends, no, we haven't got to go a halfway to meet the world. There's no necessity for compromise. What is the secret of the need? My presence shall go with thee. And my friends, if we stand to our principles and enjoying the divine presence, we shall walk safely through without any difficulty, because the Lord is able to subdue the spirits of man. The Lord is able to reconcile the hearts of men toward us. So that it may be sometimes in an individual way you're frightened or nervous to go in to a certain interview or to be involved in a certain circumstance because of your fear of the reaction of him or her with whom you have to do. My friends, if the text is yours, you have nothing to fear. My presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee. If it's a fear of standing isolated in a community, I say, if the Lord is with you, you've got nothing to fear. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And you may have a decision to make. With independent of personalities, you may feel that some change is obvious, some development has occurred which has placed your future in the melting pot, and of necessity changes must be made, and circumstantially you feel you don't know which way to take nor what to do. Well, my friends, at such a juncture of experience, circumstantially, I would support the text in its fulfillment, in its import, with another scripture. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, the Lord of hosts is his name. And my friends, the Lord can and does make his way plain before his people's face. He can indeed so close doors as to leave one open, which is his will and his way for you. Or he can so promote circumstances that your mind is settled upon which way to take, though there may be several alternatives presenting themselves before you. But the Lord can settle your mind by some advantage that will enable you to make your decision and to step out into the future in the fear and the way of the Lord. I would warn you of a danger, and I don't know why I am preaching this morning, but I would warn you of a danger if you are at the threshold of decision as to your future way. Beware of the flesh prevailing over the spirit. Beware of natural inclinations predominating over spiritual considerations. My friends, when the flesh is uppermost, we're on a slippery place. When the spirit is uppermost, we're in a safe place. Now the Lord says, and I must come to the amen, my presence shall go with thee. I may have someone here this morning, and I'm preaching subjectively, I may have someone here this morning that has come into the house of God burdened with decision. You may have realized the necessity of taking a step, of making a move. You may feel very much cut off from creatures, and you may feel an inability to lean on the opinions of fellow men. You want it from the Lord. Well, my friend, should the Lord bless you and apply this text to your heart, in answer to your many cries and sighs and groans before him, the Lord have the glory. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You may prove in the unfolding of the future a trial of your faith. You may fear from time to time that the decision initially was wrong. But my friends, this word being applied to you at such a time as this, whatever the trials that may exist and be brought to bear upon the decision, you will ever prove the decision to be right. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The Lord bless his own word. Amen.